All right. Three kingdom principles to consider. Number one, the kingdom requires conversion. Well, you say, well, Pastor, that's simple. Well, I'm finding things that should be simple are not always simple for folks. Because one of the things that Jesus would demonstrate is he would talk to the disciples and explain things to them. But when he shared the same principles to other people who weren't part of the kingdom, it was a mystery. In other words, you had to be converted first before you understood it.
Yes.
So the kingdom requires conversion. Let me give you an example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's start at verse 2 of Matthew 18. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily or truly I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So access to the kingdom is granted through conversion, not membership. Are you following me? So I can't sign up for the kingdom. I can't put my name on a roll for the kingdom. I can't get that just simply because I've been around for a while. Yeah. Access to the kingdom is granted through conversion, not membership. Look at John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Okay, watch this. Are you noticing that Jesus keeps saying truly? That's what verily means. Here's a whole nother instance, and he said, truly, truly. Now, he's repeating it twice. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He is letting you know that there's some significance to this. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the conversion comes by being born again. Without the new birth, the kingdom is a mystery. Okay. Verse 4, same John chapter 3 again. We're just walking through there. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly. Get this, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Watch this. To my sisters who have had children, what was the sign that it was time for you to have your baby? So you had the baby had to be born of water. Oh, come on now. And of the Spirit. Jesus wanted you to know natural birth wasn't enough.
Amen.
Yes.
Look at this. Every kingdom person is born twice.
Amen.
I'm going to let you say that for a moment.
Amen.
Every kingdom person is born twice.
Yes.
Because a natural birth is not enough. Yeah, everybody's water broke. But did you get the spiritual birth? Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, Jesus was saying, listen, born of the flesh, okay, I know that. That's how you hear. But born of the spirit is how you get in the kingdom.
Amen.
Is here just good enough? Or do you want to be in the kingdom? Look at verse 7. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In other words, nobody gets in the kingdom by accident. You don't birth a baby by accident. The kingdom requires conversion. Number 2. See, we almost done. Not only does the kingdom require conversion, but humility is the path to greatness in the kingdom. Humility is the path to greatness in the kingdom. I want to share something with you. Let's go to Matthew 18 again. Matthew 18 and 1. Listen to this. Just to see if you get this like I got this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now for a moment, let's just stop for a second. I want you to see the setting here. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, well, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? See, okay, first off, you got to understand, they know that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom. So they want to know who's the greatest. You know what's interesting? Look at Jesus. Watch this. The question is, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Listen to this. Because I had to look at this myself. This is interesting. A desire to be great in the kingdom is never rebuked in Scripture. But the conditions that are necessary are always made plain. Jesus doesn't have a problem, Minister Hall, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom. But he's going to make the conditions plain to you. See, some of us would have been religious and said, oh, how dare they want to be great in the kingdom. I want to be great in the kingdom. I hope you do.
Amen.
Other folks trying to be great here. That's the problem. You want to be great in the wrong place. Jesus never rebukes people for wanting to be great in the kingdom. You think I'm just saying that? Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. So I like to read the Bible instead of telling my stories. Because my stories won't matter to you when the crises come in your life. But this word will. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. The Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? What can I do for you? What is it that you want? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Give my sons some greatness in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Lady, you don't know what you're asking. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He's making the conditions plain. He never rebuked them for wanting to be great.
Amen.
Said, listen, you need to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized of. You're going to need to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink. Can you do this? They say unto him, we are able. Be careful. Say you want to be great, but are you able? And look at this, verse 23. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Now watch this. You got to understand, every one of the disciples suffered different aspects in their lives.
Amen.
Because they drank of the cup. And they were baptized with the baptism. So Jesus knew that. Now watch this. They met the conditions. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Nothing wrong with wanting to be great. I ain't rebuking you for wanting to be great. But there's conditions. Just meet the conditions. Go back to Matthew 18. Verse 2. Because humility is the pathway to greatness in the kingdom. Humility. Now, the people, you know, in America, we don't like to talk about humility. We don't. Because we think humility is weakness. Let me ask you something. Who was more humble than Jesus? Now, who was more powerful than Jesus? So humility and power can go together. Go back with verse 2, Matthew 18. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now you notice they got a conversation going on. And Jesus stopped and said, come in. And brought a little kid over. And said, verily, or truly again, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, or become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So imagine the disciples looking at this little kid that Jesus is holding. Said, unless you become like this, you can't get in. What? What is he talking about? What in the world is Jesus saying? Let's think about little children. Them little babies back there in the back, totally dependent on you. I mean, Kia, we love little Kyle. We love the way y'all match when y'all dress. You know, everybody know it. Y'all know Kia and Kyle going to be matching when they... Y'all know that. Kia, does Kyle lay his clothes out at night?
Not at all.
Not at all. Ain't that amazing? So as matching as y'all are, it's not Kyle that does it. That he, you know, so does he fix breakfast in the morning? Man, can you believe that? So little Kyle is just depending on you for his food and his clothes. Ain't that a shame? Do you realize that Jesus said, listen, unless you become like that, you can't get in the kingdom. Wow. Who you dependent on to get in the kingdom? Wow. See, because children are totally dependent. So you got to understand, look what Jesus is talking about. He is talking about access to the kingdom of God. You can't get in here without depending on me. Your works won't do it. Your wisdom won't get you in. Your money won't get you there. Your prestige, your influence that you have with all of these people won't get you in. You need to be totally dependent like this little kid. Are y'all seeing this now? See, total dependence upon the king is absolutely necessary for access into the kingdom. You can't get there any other way. Verse 4. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Watch this. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humility is the pathway for greatness in the kingdom. Not all your strength, not all your power. What about a little humility? Kingdom humility is a mindset, though. See, I ain't talking about none of this. Listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. Humility is not an inferiority complex.
That's right. Amen.
Come on, sir.
Well, woe is me. I don't deserve it. That ain't humility. You just messed up. Because we get it twisted. We think that we can go, well, you know, I shouldn't have anything in life. I'm just a wretched worm. That ain't no humility. What's wrong with you? See, you somebody need to talk to you and talk about who you are in God. See, when you let me show you. I want to show you the greatest example of humility I believe there is. Now watch this. Humility is a mindset. That's why people, see, we see what you do. God see why you do it.
Yes.
Watch this. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. See, we're talking about kingdom humility here, the real deal. Ain't talking about all this false stuff where people acting all, you say, oh, they so humble. No, they just really messed up. Well, you know, they should be able to, well, some of the stuff that we think humility is just crazy. Oh, yeah, let everybody just run over you. That's okay. Y'all, you better keep reading the whole book.
Amen. Amen.
So whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So let me show you this kingdom humility mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You know this scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's a mindset now. You need to have a mind, the mind of Christ, to be to be humble. Did you hear me? You got to have the mind of Christ to be humble. Well, I'm going to show you. I know people say, no. Okay, first off, the scripture says, let this mind be in you. You will not let this mind unless you renew this mind. Because instead of letting this mind, the first thing we want to do is give you this mind. Or at least a piece of it. Because if I don't renew it, I'm going to give you a piece of it. Y'all get that in a minute. Now, let's talk about this mind. What mind is this since it's supposed to be in us? Let this mind be in you as it was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is this? Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Kingdom humility does not focus on position or titles.
Amen.
Jesus, okay, his assignment was to come and die for a world deserving of death and punishment. So he left his position and his title, if you will, as the Son of God to die and become the Son, to become the Son of Man and die on our behalf. So he wasn't caught up in his title and his position. Do you know how many people go, do you know who I am? Who are you? Really? Well, I'm supposed to have this because I'm such and such. Oh, y'all looking at me like that ain't church folks, please. See, wait a minute. Okay, some of us, I'm going to be nice. We think we can't shop certain places. We can't eat certain things because, you know, after all, you act like you was born like this. We know where you really from.
Amen.
We know your mama and them. You acting all like that, all brand new like that. We know the real deal. You may look like that. Your hair look real good. Now, girl, oh, yeah. But we know the real deal. Somebody write about, hey, so they call you by your nickname. It ain't Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So. They call you by your nickname because they back in the same hood you came from. You're trying to act all like that. See, Jesus wasn't caught up in positions and titles. Do you realize that Jesus came, watch this, since y'all talking about the hood, you know Jesus came out of Nazareth? You know what they said about Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus wasn't caught up on where he was from. Some folk, well, you know, well, I'm from New York. No, you're not. Somebody, oh, you're from New York. You don't try to get the little accent and everything. No, you're not. I mean, I see people, where you from? Well, you know, because I'm from Michigan myself, you know, so to be, yeah, I'm from Detroit. Every city in Michigan is not Detroit. You know, people try to portray things because they're caught up in positions and titles. Because the first thing we want to do is impress you. Jesus wasn't concerned with impressing people. You know why? Because he knew who he was. That's why humility is a kingdom mindset. Because the only people who can be humble have to know who they are. Verse 7, the Bible says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So kingdom humility is more concerned with serving the king instead of being served as a king. He made himself of no reputation. Why do we see people trying to make a reputation? Well, you know, I mean, we met, some stuff I just can't tell y'all because y'all might know the people. No, I'm not trying to contaminate your view of anybody. But we met this one gentleman one time. My wife and I ain't going to tell you where we was at. My wife probably come. She'll probably think about this when I said it. He introduced himself with his title first. I mean, there's certain places. Can't you just say your name? I mean, okay, watch this. Watch this. You work as an accountant on your job. So now we come out, and I introduce you. I want to introduce you to Craig Campbell. And you say, I'm accountant so-and-so, senior development accountant. Look at you like, what? They ain't even heard your name because they're like, what's wrong with them? You mean your whole identity is caught up in your position? You can't identify with the name, the birth name you have, so you have to take the new name that the company gave you. Now, you do know as soon as they downsize. So where's your identity when they downsize? But notice what Jesus did. He made himself of no reputation and took, watch this, he took, that means there's a choice. He took upon him the form of a servant. Most people don't choose to serve. They choose to be served. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to this. The highest form of humility is the death of your personal rights. The highest form of humility is the death of your personal rights. I got a right to this. I got a right to that. So when do your rights die? That's when you start talking about being humble. It's not about my right. It's about the king's right. After all, I'm in the kingdom. If everybody in the kingdom is throwing all of their rights around, how are you going to serve the king? See, because after a while, we start thinking that we should be treated better than the king. Okay, maybe I need to, it seems like I'm like one level above, so let me knock it down another notch so we all be on the same playing field. What do you mean, Pastor? You said, well, sometimes we think we, you know, need to be treated as not, you know, as good as the king or whatever. If Jesus suffered, why can't we? So you think they're going to treat you better than they treated the king? See, when we start dying to our own personal rights, now you're walking in kingdom humility. But oftentimes we think, well, you know, I'm a child of the king. We like to say that, but do you know what that means? How did they treat the king? So all of a sudden they're going to get better for you because you're his child? Everybody's not thrilled about Jesus, nor will they be thrilled about you.
Amen.
Don't expect better treatment than they gave to him. The path to greatness in the kingdom is paved with humility. Why? Look at this, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Kingdom humility is always the front runner to honor. Before you'll find honor anywhere in the kingdom, you were humble first. Amen. You were humble first. And see, people oftentimes don't see your humility. They see the honor. And that's what they aspire to, is the honor. But the pathway to that honor is humility. You were humble somewhere. Somebody said, humble yourself so God won't have to humiliate yourself. Because sometimes folks just don't want to humble themselves. And you find yourself humiliated. Listen. I know y'all looking at me like, what? I thought we was going to talk about kingdom. I was ready to shout. Well, if we learn how to walk in the kingdom, we will be able to shout. We shout and dance because all of this stuff, with the things that's coming on our world, if we can learn to be, one of the amazing stories in the Bible is the story of David. David killed all kind of folk. But when he went before the king, I think it was Achish, the king, he went before him and he faked to be crazy. You know how much humility it took to do that? Now, you've been walking around with swords, killing everybody, and the only way God fixed it, the only way you get out of this one, you need to act crazy. They said David had slob running all down his face. That's what the scripture says, I'm just putting it in our vernacular so we can understand it. He was acting as crazy as all our doors. But David lived to tell his story. I can't believe he was humiliated like that. No, he was humble like that. You saw it as humiliation. He wanted to live. Some of us would rather die because we know what? We can't humble ourselves. I said, Lord, please. I'd have faked as crazy as all our doors do. I'd have ran around like your grandma's. You crazy as a bed bug. Yep, that's right. Just as crazy spinning on my head and everything. Because when I get up out of here, I'm going to be alive and the motherfucker going to be dead. He was acting so crazy that the king said, can this be the David that was all that they was talking about? The one that had the reputation? This can't be the same David. Obviously, he was good at acting crazy.
That's right.
Learning to humble ourselves. Give up your rights. Number three. So, three kingdom principles to consider. Number one, the kingdom requires conversion. Number two, humility is the pathway to greatness in the kingdom.
Amen.
And thirdly, no one gets in the kingdom without meeting the king.
Amen.
No one gets in the kingdom without meeting the king. Matthew 22:2. Jesus is talking and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Everybody doesn't want to meet the king.
Amen.
There's some things that we need to understand in our world. Everybody is not interested in meeting the king.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 22, you all there? Verse 4 now. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You know, some people are too busy for God. I got this I need to do. I got that I need to do. You know, I just, I'm young now, and Maybe when I get a little older, then I'll serve God. It's not that I don't really want to serve him. It's just, I'm young now, so I'll serve him later. I'm too busy trying to, make a living right now to really give myself to God like I want to. All of those seem real legitimate to you, not to God.
Amen.
And see, we have to be careful because the king, something that's very interesting. When you look at Buddha, when you look at Confucius, when you look at all of these other false religions, they cannot bring a savior who lived like a man that was sinless. They'll bring you all of their false representatives, but they cannot produce someone who lived a sinless life.
Amen.
So wait a minute. So Jesus said, listen, I went through everything you're going through,
yeah,
but I done it sinless.
Amen.
Wow.
So now, when we come with all of these excuses, have you ever tried to give an excuse to somebody that's been through what you're going through? You know, they looking like, really? You know, I went through that too. Girl, I couldn't help but slap him. I just couldn't help it. But you went through it without slapping. Not that you didn't feel like it. So imagine that Jesus has been through everything that we could possibly go through, but did it sinless. And here we are trying to give him an excuse for not serving him. What's the excuse that's legitimate enough? Watch this. I'm going to show you something. You ain't even got to answer that. I'm going to show you something. Verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, or he was upset. He was angry. He sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now, most of us don't realize this, but this was Israel's rejection of the Christ. Israel rejected Jesus, so now God said, listen, go to the highways, go to the byways, and invite as many people as you can. Guess who those people are? Everybody in this room. That's what Jesus did. Now we have an open invitation because Israel rejected the Messiah. Stick with me. Verse 10. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. So preparations been made for everybody. Verse 11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. See, the king will address you personally. Nobody gets in the kingdom without meeting the king. And the Bible says, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? See, the wedding garment is a garment of righteousness. How did you get in the kingdom and you're not wearing a wedding garment or a garment of righteousness? And the Bible says, and he was speechless. You know why? Because you cannot lie to the truth. The only thing you can do when you're speaking or being spoken to by the truth is remain speechless. You can't lie to the truth. You cannot get in the kingdom without meeting the king. Verse 13. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? For many are called, but few are chosen. See, you can't blend in with the group in the kingdom because you got to meet the king. There's people thinking that they can play church and be all right. But you got to meet the king. And eventually when you meet the king, the truth is going to expose the lie. And when the lie is exposed, the only thing that's left is being speechless. Let me end with this last scripture. Romans 8 and 9. And I'll close. Romans 8 and 9, it reads, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, nobody gets in the kingdom without meeting the king. When we really talk about altar calls, what we're talking about is people meeting the king. What we're talking about is being converted. What we're talking about is a level of humility where we give up our personal rights. What we're talking about is becoming an authorized representative of the kingdom of God. Because it's three principles that I think everybody ought to consider. You ought to consider the conversion. You ought to consider the humility. And you ought to consider meeting the king. Every head bowed, eyes closed just for a moment. One of the things that I'm attempting to do as we go through the scriptures is to show you, in reference to the kingdom, what's necessary, what it really entails. Yes, there's a conversion. Yes, we need to be ready to give up our personal rights in a form of, as humility is concerned. But see, everybody's going to meet the king. But it's how that meeting will go. You determine that right now. Because whether we live right or whether we live wrong, you still meet him. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. You will meet him one day. But where you spend eternity can be determined right now. I don't want to meet God and hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." We were never properly introduced. See, that's meeting him the wrong way. See, the altar call becomes the invitation for you to meet Jesus the right way. Because if we can have his spirit, then we belong to him.
Yes.
Listen, if you're here today, first off, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You are in a position where you recognize, "I need a Savior." That's every one of us at one point in time. We were born into sin. You're no worse than anybody else was. We were all sinners. But that same Christ that died over 2,000 years ago on Calvary, on my behalf, your behalf, and the behalf of a dying world, he was buried and he rose again on the third day. That same Christ is now King, seated on the right hand of the Father. If you're here and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to introduce you to him. I would love to see your life change for all eternity. I would love for you not to have to fear meeting the King. Or maybe you're here and you say, "Well, listen, I need to rededicate my life. I've had a relationship with God, but I strayed away. And you know, Pastor, I've heard some things that you share, and I just feel it's time for me to come back and rededicate my life." Listen, the Bible says that God is married to the backslider. He is so committed to you, he's allowed you to continue to live, and although you know and he knows you've broken fellowship with him, he has allowed you to live to give you space to repent. That's his commitment to you. Now, I don't know how long that space is, and you don't know how long that space is, but I do know this: all you have is now. That's the one moment you can claim, is now. What are you going to do with your now since you realize your condition? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, a place that you can be amongst some believers and be fed the word of God, and you can grow in the things of God. Listen, if either of those pertain to you, you recognize, "I want to be saved, I want to rededicate my life, or I need a church home," I'm going to ask you to make a very bold step. Because Jesus made a bold step in living for you and dying for you. If you're here and the Holy Spirit has bear witness in your heart to what your condition is, whether it's salvation, rededication, or finally church membership, the Holy Spirit has bear witness to you and your heart on what I'm saying. I'm going to ask you to make the step to come and meet us here at this altar. Let us pray with you. Let us reaffirm you. Let us introduce you to the King. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Glory. I just want to take a moment because I believe it's the most important decision you could possibly make. Everyone in the New Testament, the Bible says that God planted. Where are you planted at? You need to seriously consider that. You got to be planted somewhere. Plants don't grow unless they got roots. The roots have to be rooted and grounded somewhere. I want you to consider being rededicated. Bring your life back into a right relationship. God loves you so much, he gave you another opportunity. My last appeal, is there anyone? I believe the Holy Spirit will bear witness to truth. I have tried to share with you the truth. Not for my sake, but for yours. Because I realize the hour is growing late. It's growing late. The kingdom requires conversion. We can't get there no other way. Learning for us to literally give up our own rights. Walking in a level of humility that God is pleased with. Knowing that we're going to eventually meet the King. It's not about me. It's not about the people that's around you. It's about the King. Does your life please him? That's all that matters. May you sleep well every night knowing your life has pleased the King. But may your sleep be troubled now and until the day you decide to please him. Because nothing is more important than walking with God. Is there anyone? Amen. Let's put our hands together. Lord, I thank you.